The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. By the way, speaking of welcome to The Big Show. So, Friday night, Saturday night, I don't know which. They all blend together during stay at home. So I'm watching the UFC, some of the MMA fights that were on ESPN. What a brutal sport. Man, that is one brutal sport. Lots of blood. But one guy got knocked out, and the announcer, I'm trying to decide if I should sue ESPN. Because, you know, I've been saying for years, right at the beginning of every broadcast, welcome to The Big Show. And listen to these plagiarists doing the UFC fight.
Welcome to The Big Show!
Yeah, they can't do that. That's my line. I should be like Michael Buffer. You know, the Rumble dude. I can't even say the phrase. Because then they sue you. But 20 years ago, I used a little Michael Buffer clip in my show open, and we got a cease and desist, and I soon learned that he has, all around the country, people who listen for any usage of his catchphrase, and then he goes after them. The guy is worth something like $650 million. Dollars. I'm not making this up. Let's get five words. Five words. And he wears a tuxedo. You know, he looks really nice when he does it. And it's exciting. I've been to one. I don't know why I'm getting off on such a tangent here. I got a lot of news to get to. But I've been to one heavyweight championship fight. Holyfield Foreman in Atlantic City. And when Michael Buffer gets up there and says his little catchphrase, it's very electric. Okay, oh, he's worth $400 million. Can you believe that? You come up with one good catchphrase. So anyway, ESPN, I'm suing you for $400 million.
Welcome to The Big Show!
Yeah, you can't be doing that. This could be my ticket out of here. And with that, it's mere prelude. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Well, as you know, poor, embattled Mayor Jenny Durkin, she's had a rough summer so far.
We could have the summer of love.
Yeah, that was her sounding particularly ridiculous on CNN, but it was just another brutal weekend around.
This ain't the Garden of Eden. There ain't no angels above. And things ain't what they used to be. And this ain't the summer of love.
So we had, it's the entire region, it's not just Seattle, but we had on Friday morning, there was a shooting in Bellevue. That shooter remains at large. The two CHOP murderers are still on the run. I mean, think about that. They executed two teenage boys at CHOP, 16 and 19 years old. And one of them, there's ample evidence that the initial volley of shots didn't kill the kid. The 16-year-old. And so they walked up. You hear them on the tape. Holy moly, what are we doing there? What are you doing there? But you hear on tape them say, oh, you're not dead. What?
Sorry, Dory. Chris is trying to put some audio on the air, and it keeps getting very loud at the start.
Yeah, I hear that. Okay, well, we can dispense with the audio then. We can lose the music bed here. But anyway, so we had the shooting in Bellevue on Friday morning. We had a shooting in Madison Park in Seattle. You still have the chop murders that have gone unsolved. You have countless number of rapes that took place at CHOP that remain unsolved. Last night, right at the north end of Greek Row, 17th and 50th in the U District, yet another shooting. 50-year-old guy was shot there. You know, the main Greek Row, everybody hates the phrase Greek Row who's in the Greek system because it, you know, it goes from 17th all the way across to 21st, 22nd. My wife's sorority was over on 21st. But the kind of the main drag with the nice center median is 17th. And right there at the north end of Greek Row last night, another Seattle shooting. In Bellevue, Saturday night, there was a housewarming party. This was not a good housewarming party. So it's a luxury apartment building. A 22-year-old young woman owns the apartment, and she was having a housewarming party. Now, this described Elements. Elements is the main building. I think they have three towers. Elements 2 is where this happened. And the 22-year-old girl who owns the apartment, she invited her 41-year-old dad to come to the housewarming party, which is nice. The families still want to be together. But dad was from either Renton or Burien, and then there was another guy from either Renton or Burien. So a guy pulls out a knife, the dad, allegedly, and starts stabbing people. And he stabbed the 21-year-old guy from Renton, who died of his injuries. He stabbed a 24-year-old guy from Bend, Oregon. But that guy had a gun and was able to shoot and kill the dad. The 22-year-old who owns the apartment, she also was stabbed, but she's going to be physically okay. There were so many questions that I had coming out of all of this. One of which, and I ask this just because of where I am in life as a dad, but I have three daughters who are a little bit older than this 22-year-old. But I know how tough it is to be able to afford housing, even if you have a good job, when you're recently out of college. And so, you know, my oldest is married, but my two younger girls, they have roommates so that they can afford to live in Seattle. And I'm just, and they're, you know, they live in modest places. One's an apartment, one's a house they rent. But how does a 22-year-old, maybe she's a high-tech worker. Maybe. I just don't know that high-tech workers have parties where guys from Renton and Burien carrying guns and knives show up. But maybe they do. I don't know. But a 22-year-old can afford a luxury apartment in Bellevue. Now, that's not... Well, I'll ask. I'm going to get the Bellevue Police Chief, Steve Milet, on with me right after the news at 12:30. But I'm curious if that's one aspect of the story because, you know, the 22-year-old is just a victim. Her dad died. Her dad also allegedly killed one of her friends who was invited to the party. But I'm... Just the question that popped into my head. How does a 22-year-old afford an apartment in a very nice... And I was looking, a studio in this building. A studio starts at about $1,600, but then they have some apartments at Elements that rent for as much as $17,000 a month. A month. Now, she's on the third floor, so it's probably a little more inexpensive, but... I'm just curious if you were wondering the same thing. So drop me a text. Give me your perspective on that story. So then in the midst of all of this, you know, the shootings, the stabbings, it's all around the region. What's the big storyline? Well, as we told you extensively on Friday, it's that the Seattle City Council wants to cut the police department by 50%. In other words, we already have murders and rapes going unsolved. We have the killers of teenage boys at CHOP still walking the streets free. And we have a Seattle City Council that wants to cut the police force in half. I mean, this is just pure insanity. Carmen Best is the Seattle police chief, and she went on Fox and Friends this morning.
It will be much less safe if they take 50% of the cops off the streets. They don't have a plan that I've heard to do anything to maintain public safety in the meantime. I find this decision by the seven members of our city council to be incredibly reckless and not taking into account the public safety of the other 750,000 people who live here in Seattle. Yeah. It truly is a tragic decision.
No, they do take that into account, and they want more crime. The Seattle City Council wants more crime. You look at Socialist Alternatives' website. They want to destroy our region. The only way you can destroy capitalism, the only way that you can make it so criminals aren't put in jail for crimes, is you have to first destroy society as we know it. So you have a bunch of people on the Seattle City Council, most of whom have never worked one second of their adult lives in the private sector. They don't know anything except government and how to grow government. And this is not about socialism. This is about government controlling and doling out everything. That's communism. They're self-avowed Marxists that are behind this. And so Carmen Best says, man, you got to get hold. Right now, more than ever, you have to get hold of the Seattle City Council and tell them that we cannot destroy the region. And it's not just Seattle. You know, we're seeing this crime spread throughout the region. I mean, this is kind of, I've never heard of Bellevue having two shootings in 2 days like this. It's a virus. It's a cancer. It's a metastasize.
I'm hoping that people will call and write in to council and let them know that this is a reckless decision, that everything has to be thought out, there needs to be a plan, and we need public safety.
And that's the thing. There is no plan. There's no plan, except they want to cut the police. They call it decriminalize Seattle. And what's happened with the decriminalization of all drugs, as King County Prosecutor Dan Satterberg has done? Well, drug use has skyrocketed. We are one of the heroin capitals of the United States because you can have personal possession amounts of heroin and meth and all other drugs. With impunity, they are now de facto legalized. And they want to do the same thing for home break-ins, for car prowls, for assaults. I'm not making this up. That is the plan. They want to take felony crimes, reduce them to misdemeanors, which will not get charged because you're not going to have a police force to handle the crimes on the street. It truly is one of the craziest things I have ever seen in a quarter century of watching a crazy region around here. And so Jenny Durkin, she says, yeah, we're going to start slashing the police budget. She's being a little more sensible. She doesn't want to cut it in half, but it shouldn't be cut at all.
Today, the chief and I are announcing an initial $76 million in reductions to the 2021 budget.
Okay, criminals rejoice. We're going to have far fewer cops on the street, and you're going to be able to continue to commit crimes without any fear of being caught or go to jail. Even murder. Go and kill kids up at CHOP, and you can walk around a free person. Does that scare anybody? That there are murderers walking around free who were able to put a gun up to the head of an already dying 16-year-old and execute him. in the middle of Capitol Hill, and that person remains free, and their solution is, let's cut the police and all the budget.
Our assessment of what needs to be done has to be based on facts and data so that we can continue to serve the people of Seattle.
Facts and data. We have the data daddy in Olympia. We got the data mama up here in Seattle. So what can we do about all of this? We can't just have problems. We must have solutions. I got an email from the wife of a Seattle cop, and I've known this family for a long, long time, and it's a wonderful family. And she writes, Dory, I want to start off by saying how much your support of Seattle Police means to our family. I'm so proud to be married to, and she gives her husband's name, and I'm going to redact them, but I know them. I'm proud of him serving his country and now Seattle. I've never felt so broken in my life. It was hard to have the one I love be attacked verbally and physically, day in, day out, for weeks. And now the defunding of the department, this move will negatively affect thousands. Families will lose everything through this. I've been through so many emotions, and I'm tired. The families of Seattle Police have decided we will not be silent anymore. We need people to understand what impact this will have on us. We need to show our support, and the time is now. We've decided to march down at City Hall on Wednesday in support of SPD. And I want you to know, I'm moving away from her email for a second. I am fully behind this, and I would love to see thousands of my listeners join the Seattle Police families. We've let the wackos control the debate. We've let the criminals extort us. It's time for the people who just want to save our city and are tired of the madness. Can you put aside some time on Wednesday and support these families? She writes, I'm hoping you might spread the word for this event. We want people to come and show their support for our amazing Seattle Police Department. It's a department that's going to be torn down by a city council that's being pushed by a small group of loud people. And then she linked up on Facebook the call to action. They are going to march to City Hall Wednesday. The demonstration is going to begin at 9 a.m. this Wednesday. They're going to have two budget meetings at 10 and at 2. And they want the supporters to stay through both meetings if you can. So it's time for people who care about the city to rise up. So if you can, Wednesday morning, show up at Seattle City Hall, 600 4th Avenue. Stand with the families of the Seattle Police Department. Stand with the men and women who have taken all of this abuse. Stand against the Marxists who want to cut the police and have crime skyrocket in our region. 9 o'clock Wednesday morning. Seattle City Hall. We need some of my listeners there. We need to show up in numbers. It's time to be heard. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
I'm going to check the news with you. And then Bellevue Police Chief Steve Milet, he will give us the very latest on the shooting stabbing that happened in that luxury apartment building Saturday night. Lots more. Busy news afternoon. Dory Munson. Moves on. Well, our region was rocked by even more violence this weekend. Multiple shootings in Seattle. Friday morning, as we told you, there was a shooting in Bellevue. And then Saturday evening, a shocking story at a luxury apartment complex in Bellevue. The investigation continues, and the Bellevue Police Chief is Steve Milet, who joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Chief, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Dory.
Okay, so tell me as best you know. As I understand it, this was some kind of housewarming party, went horribly wrong. So tell me as best you know the chronology of what went down.
So at around 7:30, we started getting phone calls from the Elements 2 apartment that there had been multiple stabbings and a shooting, and the dispatchers were communicating to the officers that it sounded like a very, very chaotic scene. What we found to have happened is that the 22-year-old female resident was having some sort of party, housewarming, or some sort of gathering. I don't know how many people were invited, but there were several people there. And among the guests was her 41-year-old father. And apparently there was some sort of domestic disturbance that happened between the two during the party. Okay. And someone tried to intervene to calm it down, and the father turned and stabbed a 21-year-old young man who was a Renton resident, and then a 24-year-old became involved, this young man from Bend, Oregon, and he was attacked by the 41-year-old dad and stabbed in the neck, and he shot the 41-year-old. The 24-year-old was armed with a firearm, and he shot him and killed him. So the officers arrive on scene. And in the course of this, we don't know if it was intentional or accidental, but the 22-year-old daughter also received injuries from the knife. And so the officers get there, and there's just bodies everywhere, blood everywhere, you can imagine. And they attempted life-saving measures on the 21-year-old Renton resident, and it was unsuccessful. They applied pressure on the male's neck and tried to control the bleeding. The fire department arrived on scene, did a phenomenal job, yeah, as Bellevue Fire always does. The individual with the neck injury was transported to Harborview and went into surgery and was in good condition as of yesterday, expected to make a recovery. And the daughter was treated at Overlake for some minor injuries and released.
Okay, and the 24-year-old who was stabbed and responded by shooting the dad, he also died from that stabbing, right? Correct?
No. The 24-year-old, the person who shot dad, went to Harborview and he went into surgery.
Survived. Okay.
Yes. It was a 21-year-old stabbing victim. It looks like the first individual that tried to intervene in the domestic disturbance between dad and daughter, he had multiple stab wounds and he succumbed to his injuries there inside the apartment building.
This has nothing to do with anything, but I'd be interested to hear your perspective. When I hear stories like this, because for most of us, this level of violence is such a foreign concept, I can at least wrap my brain, Chief, around people who shoot each other. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's, you're distant. The act of actually being up close enough to plunge a knife into another human being, it just seems so much, a level of violence and madness that is far greater than a shooting.
It's up close and personal, as you said. Yeah, it's up close and personal. You got to be, you know, right up on the person, and it's madness, as you said. People lose control, and they're not able to control their emotions, and they go into this very dark space. And, you know, I'm not saying that this is the case here. I don't know. We don't know all the details. Some it's due to mental illness. Some it's, you know, ingesting different, you know, substances that make you lose your reasoning. But yeah, it's craziness.
particularly shocking, just given that Bellevue has always had a much more genteel perspective, I think, from people than Seattle. Things have gotten really tough in Seattle, and this sort of thing remains extremely rare in your community, doesn't it?
It does. Absolutely, it does. And I pray God that it continues to remain rare. Yeah, it's one of the things that I was actually just talking to a colleague of mine down in Texas, and we were talking about this overnight and the media coverage that it got, and justifiably so. And, you know, I know some places where something like this happens, and it's like the fourth story down on the news. But because it's so rare here in Bellevue,
yeah,
because of our reputation, and, you know, it gets a lot of attention, and it should. It should. It was a horrific, violent nightmare up there on the third floor at the Elements 2 building, and we lost two human lives.
The other question that a lot of people have asked me, and I'll be honest, I had the same question, and, you know, you and I have talked off the air before. We have a few kids between us in their 20s, and I know how tough the housing market is. I hear about a 22-year-old who has an apartment in a luxury Bellevue high-rise. Do you have any idea what, you know, what the family situation is what is a 22-year-old kid basically can afford a very expensive apartment?
No idea. I have none. I don't know what, you know, how she's able to, you know, to live there, or I really don't know much about this young lady at all.
Is that something that becomes part of an investigation? Do you have to look at if to be able to afford something like that, maybe you have a high tech job, maybe there's something else going on. And when there's something else going on, there's often crime attached to it.
So the thing that we always got to be on guard with is that she's a victim in this, right?
Yeah.
And so not, you know, turning a victim into a suspect for any reason. And as far as I know, there's no cause for us to question anything. You know, people find themselves in, you know, different financial situations at different points in their lives. And, you know, if she's fortunate enough to be able to, you know, find success and everything at such a young age, then fantastic for her. But yeah, there's nothing that, as far as I know right now, that would lead us in any direction other than looking at her as a victim.
Got it. Okay.
I mean, she got stabbed and she lost her father, even though, you know, the circumstances are what they were.
Sure.
But yeah, I would not be wanting to walk in her shoes today. It's got to be a very difficult day for her.
Very sad. Any update in the investigation looking for the shooter in the Friday morning incident?
So I don't. I'm actually getting a briefing hopefully later on today about that. I know our detective squad has been working tremendous overtime to stay on top of these incidents and make sure that we investigate them fully and bring people to justice. And I got to tell you, Dory, I'm not saying it just, you know, because I'm the chief here or anything else, but the Bellevue residents and the public are very fortunate that they have a police department that's staffed with such talent in the detective squad, because they don't let things go. They do take these investigations personally, and they will find out who did what, when they did it, why they did it, and then bring them to justice, if at all possible. And our detectives have just they have stepped up and have done a phenomenal job always, but certainly this year. I mean, because we've seen a lot of things in our city in 2020. And you and I were talking about it. I'm not liking 2020. I can't wait for 2020 to end, right? We're only halfway through it, brother. I mean,
I know.
God dang.
Better times got to be ahead, because can't get a whole lot worse around here.
Amen.
All right. Chief, it's always great talk with you. Appreciate you taking the time.
You too, sir. Take care.
All right. Bellevue Police Chief Steve Milette with an update on the Saturday shooting stabbing. As always, love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Very exciting. I just posted a picture on my personal Twitter. I'm a grandpa. No, not to a human baby. But one of our daughters got a dog last night. Fine looking animal. Man, cattle, our best guess, they rescued him from Texas. Because down in Texas, they put a lot of dogs down. They got a lot of kill shelters down in Texas. So there are just a lot of wonderful people who have this Texas to Washington pipeline. And my daughter had been talking to a woman who'd been fostering this dog. Looks like maybe a cattle dog, Catahoula mix. He's a fine looking dog, but he was just found. He's about 10 months old, and they just found him and his sister walking a dusty road in the middle of nowhere in Texas. And so Good Samaritan took them in, and they knew that if they took them to a shelter, there's apparently in Texas a pretty high probability, from what I've heard, of them getting put down. So a Good Samaritan took him in, and then there's a woman who just flies dogs pretty regularly from Texas up here to Washington. So my daughter and her husband, they went down to SeaTac last night, and one of my other daughters went with them. And they said it was so cute because about you go to the oversized baggage, and dogs are in, you know, their crates, and they get off the plane, and they arrive at their forever home. It's just really cute and sweet. As soon as they got out of their crates, having flown from Houston, this boy that my daughter got and his sister that had been found walking the road together, they found each other right away at SeaTac. And they were playing together every day. So my daughter got the contact for the family that got his sister, and they can have play dates together. And it's just, I just wanted to share that because amidst all of the madness and the craziness, the fact that there are people who see as their mission in life to deliver dogs from high kill states up here to Washington, and that there are loving homes to take them in, that's all good. That's one of those all-feel-good stories. So, I'm a grandpa. You can see the pic on Twitter, @DoriMonson, DoriMonson. Fastest 15's coming up next.